On yesterday's program, we heard from Rebecca, who is pregnant with a child who belongs to someone else. You see, Rebecca has chosen to be a surrogate, to conceive a much-wanted baby for another couple. We spoke to her yesterday about how she feels about the child growing within her.
In a way, this new baby that's coming is partly yours and always will be. Will you always feel that for that child? Do you think this will be a lifelong link for you and this child?
I hope that it would be. I don't see myself being that attached that if we did in 20 years' time fall apart or drift apart, that I would be that upset that I didn't get to hear about how that child was going. I foresee it now as being a similar relationship that I have with my nieces or nephews, that you do feel something a little bit extra for that child than another child, but I don't see it being any more complicated than that. I would be happy to see it growing and being healthy and happy and having updates about how that child was going, but I don't see it as much more than that myself, really.
It sounds like you are, to use an old phrase, a natural mother. Mm. I mean, the fact that the IVF took the first time round.
And they were, I think, pretty happy when they met me and heard the stories that it didn't take us long with my own two to get pregnant, and I'd never had any issues at all. I haven't spent a night in hospital having my own two children. I had them in 5 hours and 3 hours and went straight home. Born to do it, born to have kids, which is another reason. Why would you not help someone when you had such an easy time?
That's Rebecca, a former Southeast resident who's pregnant and becoming a surrogate for another couple. But after meeting them and making the decision to become pregnant with their child, it was time for the lawyers to step in. Every decision or possible outcome that affects Rebecca, the unborn child, or the parents had to be discussed and written in an extensive legal document. Complicating the process even more, each state in Australia has differing laws on surrogacy. Rebecca is a former South Australian who now lives in country Victoria. Although she became pregnant in New South Wales, she will have the baby in Victoria, but the intended parents live in New South Wales. The issue of surrogacy raises many interesting legal questions, but ultimately, if Rebecca chooses to keep her baby, the law is on her side. Today we speak to Anna Parker, the Chair of the Children and Youth Issues Committee from the Law Institute of Victoria, about surrogacy law in Australia.
Surrogacy is a matter for different state parliaments, so from state to state, the laws vary, and with the exception of the Northern Territory, each of the states and territories has specific surrogacy legislation, and each one's slightly different.
How complicated does that make the whole process?
It makes it quite complicated. There are some similarities between the various jurisdictions, but they're by no means identical, which means it's very important to be sure of the specific law in the specific state where the procedure is taking place.
Well, in this situation with Rebecca, she is a South Australian now living in Victoria. And when she has the baby, I would imagine she'll be in Victoria. But the eventual mother of the baby will be living in Sydney.
Right.
Is it where the baby is born that dictates which law it comes under?
No, it's actually where the procedure takes place. So in Victoria, an order from a court transferring the parentage of a child from the surrogate to the commissioning parents can actually only be made if the procedure took place in Victoria and also if the commissioning parents live in Victoria. So in that situation, if the procedure took place somewhere else, the commissioning parents would have to apply to the courts in that jurisdiction where the procedure took place.
And what we're talking about effectively is a contract being entered into by two adults, we could say.
Yes.
But it all impacts on the life of the eventual child. Is there a template for such a contract or different for every case?
It is different for every case, and it's also different in each state. Some of the states don't actually require a written contract at all, and others have specific requirements as to what needs to go into a contract.
All right, and let's look at some of the things that need to go into the contract, and it's all to do with legal rights for both parties, and I say the child, of course. At which point should you engage a lawyer?
As early as possible, certainly before the procedure takes place, and preferably before anything's actually agreed at all, because a lawyer can advise on what needs to go into a surrogacy agreement, can help draw up the agreement, and can make sure that all the procedures take place in a way that's legal and that is not going to interfere with the eventual aim of a parentage order being made.
And how binding is such a contract? I mean, the big question is the emotions that come into play with something like this. If, in our case here, Rebecca decides that once the baby's born, she's changed her mind, is that something that is covered in a contract?
No, the contracts are actually not enforceable against the surrogate mother. So she is at liberty to change her mind at any time.
Oh, so she could have to take the baby and walk.
That's right, yes. In that situation, the commissioning parents, or in fact anyone else with an interest in the child's development, would be entitled to make an application for orders in family law, in the family court, and that could include an order that the child live with them, but they wouldn't be able to enforce the surrogacy contract and actually become the legal parents of the child.
Could they actually sue them for breaking a contract? Or?
No, it's actually not enforceable in any way.
Oh. And what about the child? At which point are its rights important?
Well, the child is the primary focus all along, so it's stated differently in each jurisdiction, but generally speaking, a parentage order or an order transferring the parentage from the surrogate to the commissioning parents will only be made if it's in the best interest of the child. So the child's first and foremost.
After the child is born and when it's of a reasonable age, is there anything legally stopping the child going back to its birth mother?
No. There's no, the legal parents would still be the commissioning parents who had the parentage transferred to them. But if for whatever reason the child strongly wished to live with the surrogate mother, or there were other reasons why it was in the best interest of the child to live with the surrogate mother, there wouldn't be a legal prohibition on that happening.
Apart from expenses, does money change hands with surrogacy?
No. Commercial surrogacy, as in surrogacy for a fee, is prohibited in every jurisdiction in Australia other than the Northern Territory that doesn't have specific surrogacy legislation. So surrogates are entitled to a range of different expenses which vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and it's generally reimbursement of things like medical fees, legal fees and travel expenses, but they're not entitled to be paid for the service of bearing the child.
And when it comes to the point where the birth mother releases the child to the commissioning mother, at what point can that be? Is that something that's laid down in law? It's got to be, say, after weaning or at some particular point?
It's usually right away, but the actual parentage cannot be transferred for a certain period of time, depending on jurisdictions.
So really, Rebecca could have the child and kiss it goodbye on the same day?
Yes, that's what quite often happens, so that the initial bonding of the child is with the intended parents rather than with the surrogate.
Yeah. So it could happen. It could be over very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
My firm actually does quite a bit of surrogacy work, but it's quite rare at this stage still. It's really a developing area of the law, and it's only been in recent times that specific legislation has been enacted in relation to surrogacy. So it's becoming increasingly common, but it's still quite an obscure area of family law.
Would you deem the cases that you have seen as being, well, it's my word, successful? And by that I mean, you know, the transference takes place and there's no comeback and everybody's happy?
Yes, it's usually successful, but there have been cases, and there's one well-known family case in particular, where things do go wrong. Sometimes the surrogate does have trouble relinquishing the child, and unfortunately there's no way to protect against that.
Mm. Would it be necessary for both the mother, well, both mothers to have their own lawyers?
Yes.
You couldn't have one dealing for both?
No. In some jurisdictions it's specifically specified that the parties have to have legal advice that's independent from the other. But even where it's not specified, it would be a real ethical problem for a lawyer to act on both sides of a transaction like that.
And what about the fees? Can it then come into the contract as to who pays the legal fees?
Yes, most of the jurisdictions provide that the legal fees can be reimbursed. Any legal fees incurred by the surrogate can be paid for by the commissioning parent.
By the commissioning parent.
Yes.
Is there a move to nationalise laws regarding surrogacy?
There has been a move, yes. So far, there's no national consistency, but there is a plan underway for that to happen. And the states have moved to bring their legislation closer to being consistent with each other in recent years.
When the child, when he or she gets to a particular age, as is the case with adopted children, there is this curiosity as to what their background was. Is there anything legally stopping them finding out?
To the best of my knowledge, there's no legal barrier to it, but I think that would vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction.
That was Anna Parker, the Chair of the Children and Youth Issues Committee from the Law Institute of Victoria. Tomorrow, we speak to the woman who battled with her own fertility problems for 8 years and who will ultimately become the mother of Rebecca's child.